Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Kane. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
Mob rules is now the new law in this country. And I'm speaking, of course, on the Derek Chauvin verdict, in which a jury of his peers came back in less than, just 10 hours or so, with a verdict of guilty on all charges. And we're going to dissect this a little bit, folks, because even to the staunchest of advocates, this has to stink on ice. I mean, it just absolutely has to stink on ice, if you're being fair. If you're just ruling yourself by emotion, then I'm sure you're applauding today and saying what a wonderful and meaningful verdict this is for civil rights in this country. No. No, it's not. It's actually a miscarriage of justice in the highest form, and I'm going to prove it. But before we get started with that, let me just say this. I never claimed, nor do I believe, that Derek Chauvin is blameless in the death of George Floyd. He's not blameless in the death of George Floyd. His actions contributed to that man's death. But to what degree? We're going to really dissect this. That's why I took a little bit longer on this show than we normally do. We're going to have 90 minutes today because we're really going to dissect this because it's so vitally important. And I normally do not ask my audience for favors, but I'm going to ask you for one. Please, please, if you listen to this and you believe in your heart that what I'm saying is true, please pass this on. Please pass this link on to someone and let them listen. Because there's so many people who think like me, but they're afraid. They're afraid of being called a racist. They're afraid of being called whatever. And they just think, oh, I better keep my opinions to myself. And that's how mob rules ends up ruling. But let's dissect this case. The police were called because George Floyd was trying to pass counterfeit money. It was not the first time it happened. And the employee at the place he was trying to pass it called the police. When George Floyd was approached, he was confrontational at best. He did not want to get into the police car, which was actually an SUV. Now, what the prosecutors told you was, well, George Floyd was a very big man. And he did not want to get into the back of that small police car. That's not meant for people his size. And you have to understand, he just couldn't bring himself. He couldn't bring himself to get into the back of that police car. Well, that's an SUV. And he was pulled out of a car twice as small, meaning he was driving a car twice as small. So BS on that. That's not true. And whether you can bring yourself to do something or not is irrelevant when you're being arrested. I just can't bring myself to put my hands behind my back. I can't bring myself to do that. I'm sorry. I can't bring myself to do that. How come you have special rules? But the police complied and they laid him on the ground. Instead, he said he wanted to be laid on the ground. Now, the maneuver that Derek Chauvin chose is being called placing a knee on the back of his neck. First off, it was his upper back with a little bit on his neck. It wasn't his neck. A secondary video clearly showed where Derek Chauvin's knee was, and it was very, very high up on the back. It wasn't across his neck. But even if it was, you cannot choke someone to death by squeezing the back of their neck. You cannot cut off their oxygen by squeezing the back of their neck. It just doesn't happen that way. Now, you may want to think it happened that way because the narrative is this. George Floyd was minding his own business, didn't even know he had a phony $20 bill, even though he menaced the kid and threatened him when the kid said he was going to call the police if he didn't cough up a real $20 bill. But, oh, no, he just didn't know it. Then the police came, and he became very panicky. And all he asked was, please, please, officer, don't put me in the back of that tiny, tiny little car. You know, the one that's three times the size of the one I have. Please just lay me on the ground here, and I'll be peaceful, and I'll wait. Wait for what? You're under arrest. You're under arrest. Well, police procedure says that's what you do. You keep the guy in place. He was a big guy. Now, police backup was there, but unfortunately, police backup, who's supposed to be helping Chauvin, decided it was wiser to try to control the crowd because a mob crowd had formed. And they were yelling and screaming. Oh, get your knee off of him. Who do you think you are? You're going to let him up, blah, 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 blah. So they had to go into crowd control. Crowd was threatening to actually punch them and assault them. You can clearly hear that on videotape. So they knew they had a bad situation. They had already called EMS. They were on their way. Now, here's where Chauvin made a mistake. When the man was saying, I can't breathe, which he was saying, by the way, before he ever got put down on the ground. For the benefit of people who don't know that, he was saying that when he was standing up. He had a ton of drugs in his system. You understand? Full panic mode now. It's almost like going into a panic attack, but it's a drug-induced one. And all of a sudden, you can't breathe, and you're gasping for breath, and your heart's racing a million miles an hour because you're afraid, and there's a lot of factors here. Once Chauvin had him on the ground, and he was complaining, and he was obviously in some kind of distress, the right move at that point was to set him up on his ass. He was handcuffed, and he's not standing up. If you've never been handcuffed, you're not standing up with your hands behind your back. It's very difficult. You have to cross your leg. You have to do you can do it, but it's very difficult. And in his state, he wasn't doing it. Wasn't standing up. So sitting him up, cross-legged or whatever, if it would have relieved it in any way, which there's no proof, by the way. You could have sat him up and he still could have died. There is zero proof, zero, not one scintilla of evidence that says George Floyd died because of the position of Derek Chauvin's knee or the way he was laying. Not one scintilla of evidence. Could have sat him up and he still may have died. But if you sat him up, at least it would have appeased the crowd, and it would have taken some of your responsibility away, at least the appearance of it away. This is where Chauvin made his mistake. That's exactly what he should have done. Because perhaps George Floyd would have calmed down if he was sat up. And it wouldn't have led to this panic attack, which led to what I imagine is his heart attack. So was he contributory in some way to the death of George Floyd? Involuntarily, yes. Because he went by the book instead of by common sense. And sometimes common sense has to rule the day. In other words, if you're down there and you say, I don't know, he's just as contained sitting on his ass as he is laying on his belly at this point. Let me just sit him up. And that way they can't say, oh, you held him down. That would have been the right move. He didn't do it. Now let's talk about the big, gigantic gorilla in the room, so to speak. What evidence do you have that this incident had anything at all to do with the color of George Floyd's skin? Please present me that evidence. It's being played up as a racial issue. not as an issue of an officer should have done something differently considering the physical state of a suspect, which is all it should be. Doesn't matter whether he's white, Chinese, whatever. If your argument, your legitimate argument is this officer didn't use common sense when dealing with a suspect. That's a fair argument. But that has nothing to do with race. There was a black officer on the scene. Do you think the black officer is sitting there saying, yeah, get the black man. Good idea. Kill him. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think it would have mattered what color George Floyd's skin was. He would have been treated exactly the same way. Exactly the same way. He did exactly as George Floyd did. So you don't have any evidence that this is a racial issue. Please tell me what the evidence is. Was Derek Chauvin screaming out, I hate African Americans, while he was doing this? Do we have a history of Derek Chauvin using racial slurs or in any way has he been cited for anti-racial incidents? No. No. You have no evidence, none, that this is a racial incident because it isn't a racial incident. It's a police procedural incident. So if you want to tell me that we need to open up a discussion about, listen, this is actually by the book the way you're supposed to do something. But situation may dictate that you may have to deviate from that book from time to time. For instance, it's police procedure that you handcuff someone with their arms behind their back. However, if someone has a disability in which they can't even reach their arm behind their back, you can't force their arm behind their back and tear it out of their shoulder. You obviously going to have to handcuff them from the front. That's called common sense thinking outside the box. So if the procedure is you put your knee against the guy's upper back by his neck, by the spinal beginning of his backbone there, then fine. But if he's complaining he can't breathe and he's, you know, obviously not expanding his diaphragm the right way, sit him up. He's handcuffed. Sit him up. Use your common sense. That's what didn't happen here. That's what did not happen here. Had nothing to do with his race. Please prove to me it had anything to do with his race. Not one shred of evidence was presented at the trial or at any time. And not one person can call me up on this phone and tell me here's why it was racial as opposed to it was just a bad decision. You're all making it a race issue. It has nothing to do with race. You're the one making it that way. It was a black cop, a white cop and a black perpetrator. So how about if the black cop at the scene had done the same thing? Would this have been a major incident? Would it have been? I don't think so. So there you have it. Who's the real racist then? It's a white cop, so he had to be purposely attempting to kill a black man. If it was a black cop who did it, oh, no, it was just a mistake. See how that works? So who's the real racist? The people who are saying this is a racial incident, you're the racists. Because what you're effectively saying is if a white person makes a mistake that in any way, shape, or form harms an African American, they did it on purpose. There's no leeway of I just screwed up and made a bad decision. There's none of that. It has to be a racial incident. It has to be. Because after all, he's white. And the person he did it to was black. So let's follow that logic for a minute. If we follow that logic, then every single time an African-American mugs a white person or breaks into a white person's business or rapes a white woman or anything else, they did it on purpose, right? Because they hate whites. Is that a fact? I guess it would have to be, right? Because that's what you're saying. You're saying the reverse is true. So what's good for one is good for the other. I'm going to hold you to the same standards. So from this point on, if a black assailant in any way, shape, or form mugs, rapes, robs a white business, a white person, whatever, then they're a racist, right? And they target him on purpose because they're white, right? Wrong, idiots. Now, Now let me explain why this verdict is utter and complete garbage. Second degree murder means that you inadvertently killed someone while in the commission of a felony. In other words, you're purposely doing a felony, and accidentally you killed someone. So if you go into a liquor store and you say, I'm going to rob this liquor store, and you know you're going to rob it, that's a felony. And you pistol whip the person behind the counter, and they fall and hit their head on something, and they die. That's second-degree murder. It's second-degree murder because you knew you were committing a felony, and in the act of committing that felony, you inadvertently caused the death of someone. Where's the felony that Derek Chauvin committed? He was going by the book, and you could see he was going by the book. What is happening on that ground is not a felony. When it's being taught in police academies, it's not a felony. The fact that he held them there too long, and he probably should have listened and sat him up, is a mistake in judgment. It's not a commission of a felony. You have to prove that he knowingly and willingly was in the commission of a felony. There is no way in God's green earth that you could prove that based on that video or this case. No way. That's called we feel that way. Well, why do you feel that way? You feel that way because you have angry mobs saying if the verdict isn't right, we're burning down every juror's house, and believe me when I tell you, we know who they are. You got Maxine Waters, the Wicked Witch of the West, going up there saying we need to be even more confrontational. I'm waiting for somebody to throw a bucket of water on her. Oh, we need to be even more confrontational. If we don't get the verdict we want, that's called jury tampering. That's a felony. Why isn't she in jail? You cannot prove, and no one in that jury can prove, that Derek Chauvin willingly and knowingly was in the commission of a felony. And that's what you have to prove. So second-degree murder is completely out of the question. And yet he's guilty of it somehow. So what that jury said is, Derek Chauvin on that day said, yep, I'm going to assault this guy because that's what I want to do. Not going to really kill him. I ain't sure I'm going to kill him, but I'm sure as hell going to F him up. There were many other ways he could have effed him up. George Floyd was fighting the police. If they wanted to beat on his ass, they could have beat on his ass. They didn't. They didn't. No one was beating him up. No one was kicking him. This isn't Rodney King. No one was doing any of that. And as cruel and callous as it may sound to you, there is an old police adage, if you can talk, you can breathe, which is absolutely the truth. People who cannot breathe aren't talking up a storm. They're panting and puffing maybe, but they're not talking, and they're sure as hell not shouting. So when someone says, I can't breathe, and an officer says, well, if you can talk, you can breathe, that's correct. Because everyone says that. Everyone says that so they don't have to be put on the ground or they're not being restrained because they don't like it. So the police hear that 1,000 times a year probably. The issue I have with Derek Chauvin is he had to at some point understand that George Floyd was having trouble by how hard he was breathing. And at that point, you set him up and say, this is not police procedure, but I got him under control. He's handcuffed behind his back, and after all, I got a gun. So I'm going to set him up, and I'm going to be right here with my hands on his shoulders, but I'm going to set him up. He didn't do it. Did he not do it because he was a black man? No. Did he not do it because he wanted to intentionally harm him? No. He didn't do it because it wasn't police procedure, and he didn't want to break procedure, and he felt that, well, I'm just doing what they tell me to do. Now you say, well, he did it for 9 minutes. Well, that's how long it took the ambulance to get there. If it was 2 minutes, then it would have been 2 minutes. If it was 6 minutes, it would have been 6 minutes. They called the EMS right away. So this verdict, irregardless of how you feel about the George Floyd incident, A, had nothing to do with race. I've just proven it. You can't give me one example of why this is a racial incident. And two, the jury came back with a bad decision because he could not possibly be guilty of second-degree murder unless he knew and was aware of. See, here's another thing. If you didn't even know you were committing a felony, you got to be aware of it. You got to say, yeah, I'm committing a felony. I'm going in and robbing that gas station. And I'm pistol whipping a person. No, I didn't want to kill him. Just want to knock them out so I could take their money. Oh, I killed them? That's second-degree murder. Do you think that comes anywhere near close what Derek Chauvin did? Following police procedure that he was taught? You have to be insane. So if you think this is a great day for justice, no, no. This is a dark day for justice. Because what you did here is you allowed the mob to scare you into giving a verdict that you know deep down inside your heart is not just. You are appeasing the mob. And here's a newsflash. You can never appease the mob. Because as soon as you give them what they want more. And then they want more. And then they want more. And pretty soon the law will be, if you're African American, you can do whatever you want. Rape, rob, murder, loot, doesn't matter. We're immune. We're immune to the law. We're above it. It's getting close. It's getting close. We're going to discuss another incident in a minute. Because right on the heels of this, and oh, by the way, they're still rioting. Please tell me what it is that you feel was unjust about this, that he should have gotten more. What should they have done? Should they just pull out a gun and shot him while he sat there? Is that justice? Is that what you want? Old, communist justice, put a bullet in his head. I sympathize with the people who say George Floyd shouldn't be dead right now. But I'm also going to tell you that the facts are the facts, and the facts don't care what your skin color is. And the fact is, he was whacked out of his mind on drugs, which probably increased his blood pressure, I don't know how many fold. But dangerously high. He fought with the police, which made it even more of a risk. And at the end of the day, he contributed very, very, very strongly to his own death. Very strongly. The only thing that I would have said is justice in this case is if Derek Chauvin had been convicted of involuntary manslaughter. Involuntary manslaughter means you didn't intend to hurt or even harm the person necessarily, but something that you did caused it, at least in a large part. And even in that situation, involuntary manslaughter, which carries, I think, 4 years, should have been reduced to a year. Because he didn't know he was causing it, and he was following a procedure. So, I mean, that's the same thing as saying, well, a doctor performed plastic surgery on someone, and during the course of the plastic surgery, that person had popped all kinds of pills, and their heart couldn't take the strain, and he should have just called it off when he saw the blood pressure was getting so high, but he didn't. He tried to finish up, and they died. Is he going to jail for murder? Or would you say, well, the patient, you know, never should have taken those drugs? They contributed to their own death. You can't go in there when you're undergoing surgery and pop all kinds of pills and shit that is not supposed to be in your system. It's not like these cops jumped on George Floyd, beat his ass, left him in the gutter to die, and said, if somebody else wants to call EMS, go ahead. They called EMS. They kept him quiet and they kept him still. And these people who were saying, well, he couldn't breathe. Why couldn't he breathe? Squeeze the back of your own neck. Does it stop you from breathing? You're going to say, well, he couldn't expand his diaphragm. Oh, come on. You can't have it both ways. Either he's 6'4", 300 pounds, and he's a monster of a guy who can't fit in the back of a police car, or a 160-pound cop can hold him down with one knee. You can't have it both ways. So if Chauvin had been convicted of involuntary manslaughter, I would have said, well, okay. I mean, you know, this is what you get for your own stupidity. I've seen people convicted of involuntary manslaughter from a bar fight. Two guys fighting, and one guy falls and cracks his head on the cement, and he's dead, and you say, well, it's still involuntary manslaughter. Because your act of fighting him caused him to fall down. And when he fell down, he bumped his head and he killed himself. So that's your act. That's involuntary manslaughter. So, okay, I'd be all right with that. I think it's a little overcharged, to be honest. But you can't charge him with much less. So I fully expected the manslaughter charge, involuntary manslaughter, to be rendered. The rest of this is nonsense. He didn't commit second-degree murder. As much as you wish he didn't. Period. So what ends up happening? They still riot. It's still no, it's not good enough. Nothing's ever going to be good enough for the mob. And just a day later, literally, we have another case, don't we? Where a 16-year-old girl, I believe her name is Makia Bryant, is shot dead by a police officer, happens to be a white police officer, happens to be an African-American girl, and the media goes berserk. Here we go again, another racist, horrible cop who just couldn't wait to shoot a poor, innocent young girl. Except the poor, innocent young girl had a knife and was about to stab another poor, innocent young girl to death. That's the part they leave out. Had her hand cocked back and the knife ready to plunge. And the cop had clearly said, drop it, drop it, drop it. 2 seconds from his gunshot later, that girl would have been knifed. And what does the press say? Well, let's first talk about what the NAACP says. NAACP says the officer's life wasn't in any... Oh, so that's the new standard? So if an officer rolls up on a guy beating my head in with a rock, he's not supposed to do anything because his life isn't in danger. My life don't matter, right? So how about the life of the young girl who's on the hood of the car about to be butchered? It doesn't matter? That life doesn't matter now, huh? I thought Black Lives mattered. Apparently not that girl's life, because she was about to have her life snuffed out. Then the second thing they say is, well, why didn't you use a taser? Well, because at the time that he got out of his cruiser, she's a good, I don't know, 20 feet away. Tasers are not accurate like that, folks. He may have missed. And if he did, that girl's dead. Or sometimes tasers aren't all that effective. I've seen people tased that didn't do that much. If that's the case, that girl's dead. His job rolling up on that scene and seeing that is to protect the life of the girl who's being assaulted. End of conversation. And that girl is using deadly force to attempt to take her life. So I don't care if she's 16 or 14. If it's so easy to get the knife away from her, then why didn't the people that were standing around do that before this escalated into this girl's about to kill someone? How come? I saw the video. There are plenty of people standing around there. How come somebody didn't go over and grab her by the nape of the neck? Throw her to the ground and say, what the hell are you doing, pulling a knife on somebody? No. Everybody's running, going, help. So the officer rolls up on the scene, and there's a girl with her arm cocked back and a giant knife in it, ready to plunge it into another girl. Got 2 seconds to make the decision. He don't know the situation. He don't know whether the girl who's going to plunge the knife into the other girl is a victim of something or she's the aggressor. He don't know. It doesn't matter. Because at that moment, all that matters is you're seeing someone attempting to murder someone. And so he shot. And that's called justified. That's justified. So please explain to me what the big uproar is about. Well, she was only 16. Okay. Well, that is a horrible shame. That's a horrible shame. What's that got to do with the officer's decision? Does the officer know how old she is when she rolls up? Wait a minute, before I shoot you, could you just stop killing that girl for a minute? I have to verify your age before I decide whether I'm going to shoot you or let you kill the girl. I need to know everything. So everyone just freeze, please, so I can identify everybody and if this is any way justified. Are you insane? Are you all insane? Here's the false narrative. I had some chucklehead talk to me online the other day about it. We have to end this horrible amount of police shootings of innocent black people with no guns. I don't know of any. George Floyd wasn't shot, Einstein, so certainly wasn't George Floyd. This girl was shot. She had a weapon. A deadly weapon, and was in the commission of attempted homicide. Other than that, there's been 11. There's been 11 in last year, 11. That's hardly an epidemic. If 11 people got COVID, would you say it's a pandemic? Would you say it's horrible? Oh, 11 people go, oh my God, 11 people. No, you'd say, oh, for 11 people. You know how many stops a day a police officer makes? You know how many millions and millions and millions and millions of confrontations there is? 11. And maybe one or two of them is from a very poorly trained police officer who did a ridiculous thing and shouldn't be a police officer. I'm not arguing that. The woman who pulled a gun instead of the taser and shot that guy, she shouldn't be a police officer. She was obviously scared to death. She was obviously panicked on a situation that really doesn't merit all that much panic. So, of course, that's a horrible thing to have happen. Of course, that's a travesty. Of course, she should be fired. Of course. But that doesn't mean she's a horrible, racist, evil person who just went out that morning saying, I hope I can find somebody of African-American descent to kill. It doesn't make you a racist. It just doesn't. That would be like saying, well, I chose to drive drunk, and I'm a moron because I chose to do that. And I smashed into a car and killed a guy, and he happened to be black, so obviously I'm a racist because the person I killed was black. Hey, look, again, please explain to me how the death of that man, whose name I do forget, who was shot rather than tased, please explain to me what that has to do with color. Again, there was a black officer on the scene. And that black officer tried to arrest a young black man who decided, no, you ain't arresting me. How come he was so panicked? He's in the hands of a black police officer, right? How come he tried to get away? How come he tried to fight? How come he tried to get back into his car and pull away, Because he was afraid a white officer would kill him? No, because the black officer was handling it. Do you honestly think that woman is a racist just because the mistake she made happened to be against a black person? Do you honestly think that? Because if you do, you're dumb as a box of rocks. And now it's getting to the point where any accident, any problem, any issue that involves a white person accidentally doing wrong to a, to an African American means that white person is a racist. And that's simply not true. You've watered down the word racist to the point it doesn't even mean anything anymore. Now racism just means, well, I decided not to hire this African American guy because he wasn't as qualified as the Chinese guy, so obviously I must hate blacks. No. Well, I had a car accident. I backed into a guy, you know, who was parked a little close to me, and he happened to be black, and so I must be a racist. No. These police officers in all of these cases, all three cases we're talking about, George Floyd, the guy who was shot rather than tased, and Bryant, had nothing to do with the color of their skin. And if you have any evidence to the contrary, please, please, please send it to me, because you don't. You know, mistakes can happen. Errors in judgment can happen. Poorly trained police officers can make mistakes or errors of judgment. It happens, folks. It happens. Oh, but you'll make all the excuses in the world for the gangbangers, right? Oh, well, they were shooting at a rival gang member, and it just happened to go into a building where an 8-year-old was sleeping and shot him in the head. He didn't mean to shoot that poor 8-year-old. You can't say he's a child murderer. He was shooting at some other rival gang member. He had no intention of hurting a child. Oh. Oh. So he gets a pass, right? But Derek Chauvin, who said he's just holding him for EMT to get there, he don't get a pass. It's reverse racism. This is exactly what it is. It's reverse racism. If you're a white cop, you better not even touch a black man, because if you do, you're obviously a racist. I don't care what the black man's doing. If he's raping a 5-year-old child, you better not haul him off. Because if you do, oh, that chokehold was a little severe. But naturally, he's white. He's a racist. He couldn't wait to hurt the black man. Yeah. You know, I'm getting tired of the sissy, lily-livered people in this country being so scared of being called a racist. That they won't even say what's common sense. Oh, I don't dare say that. They'll use that horrible racist word against me. Go ahead. Because you know what? I'm very confident that I'm not a racist. You're the racist. Every single thing has to be based on race in your eyes. You know what the story should have been? A cop held a man down for 9 minutes who was high as I possibly could be on drugs and probably contributed to his death because he wasn't clever enough to realize I probably should set this guy up. That should be the story. There should be no black. There should be no white. There should be nothing. It should be a man and a man. That's what it should be. The story should be a man was stopped for illegal tags on his car. Turns out he had a warrant for a gun, illegal gun. Tried to fight with a police officer and get back into his car. Another police officer pulled a gun instead of a taser and shot him and killed him. A tragic accident. A man was killed due to a police bumbling idiot who shouldn't have been on the force. That's it. That's it. Shouldn't be black, white, shouldn't be none of that. What the hell difference? You're saying what difference does skin color make? I'm asking you the same question. You want racism to end in this country? It'll end when you stop putting the skin color before every single sentence. Because at the end of the day, George Floyd and the other guy, they were men. It doesn't matter whether they're black, white, green, yellow. It doesn't matter. They were just men. Just like I am, just like plenty of people are. It doesn't matter what color Bryant was. She was a girl. There is no "and she was black" to it unless you're a racist. Because there's no proof on any of these cases that their skin color had anything to do with it. The only reason and the only way you should inject that into something is if there's proof. If some guy comes along and says, "Yeah, man, I hate Muslims. So I went into a, or Jews. So I went into a synagogue and I just started firing on Jews because I hate Jews." Well, then Yeah, then you should be mentioning that they're Jewish, because that's the reason the crime occurred. Prove to me that's the reason the crime occurred with Chauvin, if there was a crime. Prove to me that that's the reason that the woman pulled a gun instead of a taser. Prove to me that's why an officer shot a girl who was about to stab someone to death with a knife. Prove to me it's because of their skin color. You can't! Because it had nothing to do with it. You're the one making something out of it, because you can make political gain from it. That's why. There's no other reason. Let me go to the phones. Caller, you there? Hello, caller. No, our caller is not there. Okay, well, a lot of people call up, I guess, just to listen. Anyway, the bottom line of the situation, folks, proven to you. There's not one scintilla of evidence, not one, that Derek Chauvin acted the way he acted because the man that he was arresting was black. You have nothing there. It's not a race crime. I would argue it's not really even a crime. It was a horrible miscalculation of what to do in a situation. That's what it was. Prove to me that the female officer that killed the guy by shooting him rather than tasing him, prove to me she did that because he was black. Prove to me that same exact thing wouldn't have happened under the same exact circumstances if that guy was white, Asian, Spanish. Prove to me. Prove it. Where's your proof? You got none. Prove to me that the police officer who rolled up on a girl with a knife, bending another girl over a car, rearing her arm back with the knife clearly exposed, about to plunge it into her, would not have been shot if she was Spanish or white or Asian. Prove to me. Prove it. You can't prove it. And the reason you can't prove it is because it's not there. It's not true. You're the ones race baiting. You're the ones who are pushing a race narrative, because that's what you want to happen in this country. You want to have a race war so that you think, in your mind, you can defund and disband the police and get all of the African Americans to vote the way you want them to vote, which is for the Democratic Party. That's what you want to do. And you figure the way to do that is to literally have a division of races again. You want that. You want that. Joe Biden gets on television and acts more like Al Sharpton. And I guess we forget that many of the laws that he passed was the reason this is happening to begin with. What an old hypocrite. Ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. But mob rules now, folks. All you have to do, this is the message you've sent. The message you have sent is as follows. As long as there's enough people marching and threatening to burn down buildings, kill other people, stores, you'll get your way. You'll get your way. So please tell me, does that encourage or discourage people from rioting, looting, and marching in the streets violently? Which does that do? And I have to laugh at the people who thought, oh, well, this verdict is going to appease the mob. We won't have any rioting and looting. Oh, what happened? When are you going to realize they couldn't give one flying damn about George Floyd? They're using him as an excuse to do what they do. Simple as that. They don't care what happened to George Floyd. They don't want to listen to any facts. Half of the people out there saying a racist white cop purposely killed George Floyd, they don't know any facts. You tell them, do you know how much drugs was in George Floyd's system? No. Do you know that that was a normal police procedure that was used on 300-plus people and none of them died? No. No, I know. You don't know anything. All you know is your feelings. Well, it was a white cop and a black suspect, so he had to be a racist. No, that's you being a racist. and you're too stupid to realize it. Because if the first thing you see is color, you're a racist. I don't see that. I don't do that. I don't walk into somewhere. I don't go into a doctor's office, and when the doctor comes out, he's Indian, and say, oh, geez, like Archie Bunker. Oh, geez. It's one of those people. I don't do that. All I see is a doctor. If he is perfectly competent, I don't care what skin color he is, or I don't care what gender he is. I don't care what sexuality is. What do I care? I don't care. But if you're going to tell me in any way, shape, or form that reverse racism does not exist and it's running wild in this country, you've lost your minds. Because in essence, what you're doing right now is you are saying that any white cop in any situation in which he has to get physical or, God forbid, use deadly force on a black suspect is a racist. So you know what that's going to do? That's going to cause cops to not be able to do their job because they don't want to be called a racist. So they're going to say, well, the next time he rolls up on a situation like that, he's going to say, well, she didn't drop the weapon. Yeah, I know. The girl got stabbed 6 times before I could get to her. She died of her wounds. But I didn't shoot the girl, so I'm not a racist. And then the family of that poor girl who's lying dead and stabbed 6 times at their feet could say, why didn't you save my daughter? Is it because she's black? You didn't care if she got killed? Is that what it is, Mr. White Policeman? If that had been a white girl on the hood of that car about to be stabbed, you would have blown that girl's brains out, right? But no, my daughter's black. When are you going to stop hiding behind this crutch? When are you going to stop hiding behind this crutch? When are you just going to wake up one morning, look in the mirror and say, my destiny is my destiny. My life is in my hands. My choices are my own. There's nothing holding me back. There's no systemic racism in this country. Period. End of conversation. Are there racists in this country? You better believe it. And they come in all kinds, white, black, Jewish, Asian. They're all around. But there's no systemic racism. A black person can achieve exactly the same as a white person in any level, anywhere, anytime. And if you don't believe me, what was Barack Obama? You think Barack Obama got elected because black people voted him in? They're one-third of the population. White people voted him in. He was elected by the white population, period. Lousy president, but you don't get to say that, see? Here's another thing. If a black person right now says, hey, I think Trump was a terrible president, that doesn't mean he's a racist. But if I say I think Barack Obama was a terrible president, then I must be, right? Oh, you just didn't want a black man in there. Yeah. Or maybe I just disagree with his policies and I think he's a jerk. Is that possible, or is it no longer possible that a black person can be a jerk, a criminal, or evil or wrong? Is that where we're going to in this world now? I'm tired of this racism crapola. Tired of it. You've worn it to death. I see no racism. I see none. And I'm someone who goes a lot of places, and I deal with a lot of people of all colors, of all ethnicities, of all sexualities, of all races and religions. I don't see any. I don't see any. That guy's holding open the door for me when I got an armful of stuff and I'm heading out the store. I see me holding a door open for, Asian female who I think, I should do that because I'm being polite. I engage in small talk with everybody. I don't think everybody is evil because they're Jewish or they're black or they're Spanish or whatever. I don't see any of that. I just don't. On rare occasions, I run into someone who says something stupid like, oh, the majority of white people hate blacks. Yeah, you're an idiot. You're a racist. The majority of white people do not. The vast majority of white people couldn't give one damn what your color is. Not one damn. However, see, here's the difference. They say, oh, you wouldn't want a black person moving next door to you. Of course I would. Here's what I don't want moving next to me. Someone of any color who's going to deal drugs out of the house, have gangbanger parties. That I don't want. And apparently neither does anyone else, because when your top stars even, LeBron James, weighs in on this 16-year-old girl being shot by saying, you're next, to the cop who did it. Next for what, LeBron? He perfectly justified in shooting that girl. Bet you don't live in a black neighborhood, though, do you? I bet you took your millions and millions and you moved somewhere where everybody's just as lily white as they can possibly be, and you got a giant fence around your house and security, don't you? How come, LeBron? How come you don't go down into Harlem and buy a bunch of properties and fix them up? How come you don't do that? You got all the money in the world. How come you don't do that? How come you don't go to impoverished neighborhoods and say, I'm going to buy these brownstones and we're going to make something good out of them? How come you don't do that? How come you just move into a lily white neighborhood? Because you're a racist. I don't want to live next to those people. I know what, there's going to be crime. Oh. Oh. Amazing. Selective. What's the right word for it? When you call someone a racist and you're being that selective, you're the racist. I've actually had people tell me black people can't be racist. It's impossible. That's not true. That's not true at all. Anyone who hates anyone for no good reason except the color of their skin or their sexuality or their gender or their religion is a racist. Doesn't matter what your skin color is. However, if you have other reasons to hate someone, it also doesn't matter what their skin color is. I might hate someone who's Asian. Doesn't mean I hate all Asians. It just means I hate that one guy. That's the way this works, folks. Now you're hiding behind it. And you're gleefully hiding behind it, by the way, because you know it's not true. See, that's another thing. I'm watching rioters saying, you shoot us, we'll shoot you. What's that mean? You've just threatened the police. You've just threatened the police. And you're so ignorant that you're saying, you shoot us. Well, who did they shoot? Who did they shoot? 11 people the year before last? 11 African-Americans shot in a questionable manner by police. 11. And look what we're calling questionable manner. Suddenly the cop will shoot the 16-year-old girl. That's questionable manner? What would you have that man do? What would you have done? I want you to put yourself in place of that officer, and you're 20 feet away, and the girl is 2 seconds away from being stabbed in the gut, and you have a gun. What do? You try to save the girl's life who's about to be butchered? Or do you just say, let it happen? How about if it's your daughter? How about if that's your daughter on the hood of that car? What do? Be honest. What do? So you want some real honesty? You want me to really stir up some trouble here? I'll stir up some trouble. What do you think is more likely? For a white person to walk through a black neighborhood and be set upon, or a black person to walk through a white neighborhood and be set upon? I'll bet you it's the first one. And believe me when I tell you, plenty of African-American people I know say the same thing. Oh, yeah. Hey, Mark, don't go down in that neighborhood, Marcus. Don't go in that neighborhood, Marcus, and walk around. They'll shoot you for your sneakers. That's what I'm told. I don't really know any white neighborhoods where they'll shoot you for your sneakers. I don't. I'm sorry. Now, there are some bad neighborhoods that are predominantly white. Don't get me wrong. But it's not to that extent. I don't see a lot of lily white street gangs doing drive-bys. I just don't. So you're going to have to come to terms with the truth, because the truth doesn't have a color. The truth is just the truth. If I say there are more Italian people in the mafia than there are Polish people, that's not me being anti-Italian. That's me telling you the truth. Now you can make pretend it's anti. You must hate all Italians. How dare you say all of them? I'm not saying there aren't Polish mobs. I'm not saying there aren't Irish mobs. I'm not saying there aren't Tongs. I know. There's organized crime with all kinds of different nationalities. But I'm specifically talking about the mafia. And I promise you, there's a hell of a lot more Italians in the mafia than there are Polish. That's just a fact, and that's not being racist. Well, there's a hell of a lot more gangbangers, violent gangs, that are minorities than there are the Caucasian ones. Simple as that. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. So do you honestly think that Derek Chauvin, a police officer who doesn't have a long track record of doing horrible things to minorities, woke up one day and said, well, I'm in a bad mood today, and if any minorities give me a problem, I'm going to kill them? No. He came up on that scene. George Floyd gave him a bad time. Watch the entire tape where he's yelling and screaming and he won't get in the car and he put me on the ground. I don't want to go in the car and I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. Like, you have a choice. Now you have to ask the people, would you mind if I handcuff you? Is that going to offend you in any way? Because I'd feel better if I handcuff you. But, I mean, if you really insist, if you can't bring yourself to put your hands behind your back, I understand. We don't live in that world. We don't live in that world. So he doesn't want to go in the back of the cop car. Had he just went in the back of the car, none of this would have happened, maybe. Or maybe he still would have had the heart attack. I don't know. But I know this, it would have been less controversial. The controversy came because when the people started taking their cell phone footage from their vantage point, it looked like, to me even, I said when I first saw the tape, this is outrageous. The man has his knee on his neck for like 7-8 minutes. People in the crowd are saying, he can't breathe, let him up, he can't breathe, let him up. He's ignoring these people, because that's all I saw. But then I saw more of the tape, and I said, wait a minute, there's a black police officer right there. Why isn't that black police officer going over saying, yeah, man, let's get him up? If you're seeing a racist cop purposely torturing and murdering someone for his own pleasure, how come you didn't do anything about it? You're a racist too, I guess, against your own people? Does that make sense? Then Chauvin realizes that, yeah, there's 14, 15, 20 people out here with cell phones. They're all recording everything I'm doing. I'm doing something terribly wrong, and I know I'm doing something terribly wrong, but I'm going to keep right on doing it because their video isn't going to mean anything. Does that make sense? If Chauvin knew he was doing something wrong, he would have stopped when he realized the crowd was filming him. That's why second-degree murder doesn't make any sense, because he would have had to know he was committing a felony and actively committing it. He obviously didn't, or he would have stopped. That's what security cameras are for, folks. You know, I'm on camera. Let me get the hell out of here. So you want me to expect that Chauvin said, yeah, they're all filming me, and I'm still going to do it. I don't give one damn. That didn't happen. And you know it didn't happen, by the way. You know that didn't happen. So now where do we go? Just keep appeasing the mob, apparently? And they're still not appeased? You now have Democrats saying we need to totally not only defund the police, disband the police. We don't want police anymore. Oh, I'm sure you don't. When are you all going to wake up and realize what this is all about? This is not about Derek Chauvin and George Floyd. But fundamentally getting the United States to change by changing your opinion of their law enforcement. They want you as African Americans and eventually the Caucasian people as well to say, yeah, you can't trust the police. Yeah, the police are all a bunch of criminals. Yeah, the police are the Gestapo. Let's get rid of them. And then what happens, folks? The government comes up with some kind of a different way to enforce the laws selectively. We see how that's working, right? We see how that's working. Maxine Waters, because she's black and she's a woman, can walk into a crowd and say, we need to be more confrontational. More confrontational than what? You're burning buildings down. You're threatening to kill police officers. That's not enough. We need to be more confrontational. That's not incitement. That's perfectly acceptable. And if you didn't understand what she meant, that's because you're a dummy. She didn't mean be more confrontational in a violent way. She didn't mean that. But when Donald Trump says on January 6th, we're going to march to the Capitol to continue this fight, but of course we're going to be peaceful. We need to be peaceful. You're told the word fight itself, that word incited that mob. He needs to be impeached for incitement and possibly arrested because he used the word fight. And of course, that's key word for insurrection. And if you don't see that, you're a dummy. Oh. So the actual word, we have to be more confrontational. Those words don't mean get violent. But the word, let's be peaceful, but fight for what we think is right, that does. I mean, folks, you can't be that dumb. You can't be that dumb. The proof's right in front of your face. Now, you can choose to ignore the truth, and that's what everyone's doing, see? That's the problem. Everyone is choosing to ignore the facts. Go ahead and talk to anybody who thinks Derek Chauvin should have been executed in the courtroom. And they'll say, it doesn't matter how many drugs he had. It doesn't matter if he was passing a $20 bill that was fake. It doesn't matter if he was trying to push around some kid who was a clerk at a store. It doesn't matter if he fought the cops. It doesn't matter if he has a long history. Oh, it doesn't? Well, what does matter then? Just the fact that the skin color of the officer who did this is white. That's what matters. Then you're the racist. And you've just proven it. Thank you for the proof. You see, because facts do matter. Facts matter. It reminds me of every serial killer case I've ever heard where the guy has 14 bodies in his basement and the neighbors say, well, he was a really nice guy. He loaned me his rake one time. One time he gave me a jump when my car wouldn't start. He's a cool guy. I like that guy. Doesn't mean he's not a serial killer. Just because one guy says he was a nice guy. Well, I got news. George Floyd wasn't a nice guy. And the drugs in his system contributed more to his death than anything Derek Chauvin did. But you don't want to get rid of the drug dealers. You don't want to protest outside their house. How about you take that angry mob that's burning down Wendy's, that's burning down Nike stores, that's looting and robbing Walmarts and Just a Box and everything else. How about you take them to the local drug dealer's house and say, we want you out of our neighborhood. You're killing our people. How about you do that? How about you take that angry mob and turn it on the drug dealers and the gangbangers who's ruining this entire society? You really want to do some good? You claim you want to do so much good. Do that. But you won't. You're not going to protest outside the drug dealer's house because half of you buy the drugs from them. You're not going to protest outside the gangbanger's house because half of you are right in with them. It's time for you to realize what really is killing people here. Poor choices. Poor parenting. We have a case of a 13-year-old who was shot. He had a gun. It's 2 in the morning. Why is there a 13-year-old boy on the streets at 2 in the morning? Hanging with a gang. Gang banging. Why? Why does he have a gun in his hand at 13 years old at 2 in the morning? There's no personal responsibility anymore. Well, the cop should have known he was only 13. The cop should have known he never would have used a gun. I know he never would have used a gun. I know he was a nice boy. Well, the cop don't. The cop don't know you from anyone. But why is your son on the street at that age, at 2 in the morning? Why is his nickname Little Homicide or Little Diablo or whatever, huh? How come his name is that? On the streets, because he's a nice boy? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that any of these people deserve to die. I'm telling you that the choices they made in their life contributed to it. And in some cases, with the underage people, the choices their parents made contributed to it. I don't have any kids, but I'm going to guarantee you this. If I did, and I had a 13-year-old son, he's not going to be out in the street at 13 at 2 in the morning. And he's not going to be hanging around with that type of people. You know, this all goes back quite a few years ago to an analogy I made. There was a woman who went to a McDonald's, and she got hot coffee. And she put it between her legs and peeled out of the McDonald's, to which she promptly spilled the coffee. And it went all over her, and it scalded her. And she had to go to the hospital, the emergency room, with burns. And she sued McDonald's. And her theory, and she won, by the way, and her theory is, why does the coffee have to be that hot? Why does the coffee have to be so hot that it scalds you if you spill it? And I said to everyone at the time, if I went to McDonald's and I put hot coffee between my legs and spilled it and scalded myself to the point I had to go to the emergency room, when I got home, my parents wouldn't have said, we've called a lawyer. You're going to sue because that terrible McDonald's did you wrong. My parents would have said, what kind of a moron are you? Who puts hot coffee between their legs and drives away? Are you that dumb? You deserve everything that happened to you because you must be dumb. Take personal responsibility for what you did. It's not McDonald's fault the coffee's hot. It's your fault because you're too stupid to realize it's hot and keep it enough far enough away from you so it won't scald you. That's what my parents would have said. But nowadays, there's no personal responsibility. I know my kid is 13. I know he was out on the streets with known gangbangers. I know he might have been carrying a gun. Too bad he didn't. You're a cop, and you're white, and you shot him, so you're a racist. Oh, I know George Floyd was a drug addict and a drug dealer, and he was passing phony 20s, and he fought with the police. It doesn't matter, because the guy who tried to arrest him was white, so he's a racist. I know my daughter was attempting to stab someone to death, but she's such a kind, wonderful girl. And the officer shot her without ever knowing she was a kind, wonderful girl. So he's a racist. Well, my son is wonderful, except he committed robbery with a gun that was illegal, fought with police, was driving a car illegally with illegal tags on it, and resisted arrest. I don't know. That doesn't sound like a wonderful person. That doesn't sound like my candidates for men or women of the year. It sounds like they had terrible upbringings. It sounds like they had terrible parents. It sounds like they couldn't get their children in order, or in some cases, grown adults who didn't have a proper upbringing. And it sounds like they had no respect for authority whatsoever, none, zero. And guess what happens in that situation? Bad things. Bad things happen. But the way that the media is trying to shape this is that every single one of these people were as little innocent as could be. Oh, they're wonderful people. They weren't doing anything wrong. Cops just pulled up. They were shooting hoops outside and opened fire. Opened fire. Wasn't doing a thing. The guy's just driving down the street with a nice car, and they said, there's a black guy with a nice car. Let's shoot him. None of that's true. None of it's true. But they've got you brainwashed into thinking it's true. 11 cases, folks, in a year. With the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of stops. Daily. That's not exactly the police are hunting African Americans. I'm sorry. That's called rare instances. Extremely rare instances. Where there's a questionable shooting. And then you have to ask yourself the following. Is it questionable? Is what Derek Chauvin did questionable? Yes. Yes, it's questionable. But let's not make the leap from questionable to racist. So now it's questionable. Why didn't he sit the guy up? That's all I wanted someone to ask during the entire trial, defense or prosecution. Why is it that when George Floyd was complaining, you didn't see fit to say, well, let me at least sit you up? Not stand up, but sit up. I know why he didn't stand him up. Because if he fell down, he could have killed himself. Hands behind his back, all drugged out of his mind. But you could have sat him up. So let's find out why. Maybe he has a reason. Maybe he said, you know, it went through my mind, and then I thought, no, the ambulance will be here any minute. Let's find out what his motivation was, because that matters. And if we had found out, I didn't set him up because he was a black guy and I hate black guys, okay, well, then that's a racist incident. But I bet you that's not the reason. Maybe he had no reason. Maybe he just would admit, I don't know, it never occurred to me to do it. It never occurred to me. Maybe it's just as simple as that, folks. I know that the woman who shot the guy who had warrants clearly said the second she fired, oh, my God, I shot him. She realized her mistake. So there you go. There you go in a nutshell, folks. Everything in this country is now about race. Every police stop will be about race. So the police are not going to act. If I was a white police officer right now and I rolled up on a black suspect, I'm going to be very careful what I do because I could lose my job. I could lose my house. I could lose my bank account because I no longer have qualified immunity. And maybe I'll go to jail. What happens if this guy resists arrest and he goes for my gun and I wrestle around with him and he bangs his head and kills himself? Am I going to jail for second-degree murder? You think that's not going through police officers' minds? They got enough to go through. Every stop they make, they have to ask themselves, is this the stop where somebody just opens fire when I come to the window? Is this the stop where I don't get to go home to my family tonight? Is this the stop where I'm going to be called a racist and thrown in jail? Is this the stop that ends my career? They got enough to worry about. You want to give them more to worry about now? Yes, there are instances where police have done wrong. Weed them out. Weed them out. I don't know how many police officers there are in this country, but I can guarantee you there are millions. You're going to tell me there's none? There's not one bad one? Of course there is. You're going to tell me there's not one bad doctor? Of course there is. There's not one bad teacher? Of course there is. So why are we surprised that there's one or two bad cops here and there? But weed them out. But don't claim that there are bad cops when they're not. Don't claim they're all bad. Don't claim that, oh, they're all racist. It's based on our systemic racist society, see? If I'm infiltrating, and I made the point about the mafia, so let me do it again. If I'm infiltrating the mafia, if my job is you track and trace the mafia, I'm sorry, I'm not going to black neighborhoods because there aren't many mafia there. Okay, I'm going to Little Italy. I'm going to the places that the mob hang out. I'm not going to Harlem. Does that make me anti-Italian? No, that makes me smart. That's where they're going to be. So when you're trying to justify, oh, there's an inordinate amount of stops. Well, I'm sorry to tell you that for the population, there's an inordinate amount of crime committed by African Americans. So if you're a cop and you see a kid with his pants down around his ass, teardrop on his eyelid, death to police written on his T-shirt, hanging out at 3 a.m. in a neighborhood he's not supposed to be in, you're not supposed to be suspicious, because if you are, then you're a racist. That's weird. Because that would draw my suspicion. If I see somebody that don't look like they're old enough to drive driving, or I see a 60-year-old man in a 3-piece suit driving, I'm probably going to stop the one that looks like they're not old enough to drive, and if I think that there's a problem. You see, this is the problem. We all make choices in life. You want to hang out with gangbangers, you're going to run into police. You want to do illegal things, you're going to run into police. You want to fight the police, you're going to run into confrontational situations. You want to resist arrest, you're going to run into confrontational situations. Those are your choices, though. Those are choices you make. You know how many choices you make every day of your life that's going to affect your whole entire life? I choose to drop out of school. Okay, well, then you're probably not going to get a great job. I choose to go to McDonald's instead of Burger King, and McDonald's has an issue, and the whole place blows up. Well, if you went to Burger King, you'd be okay. Choices, there's choices that you make every day that affect your life and maybe even your actual life. One of those choices is whether I'm going to be on the right side of the law or the wrong. Not one of these cases, not one that we've discussed on this show, was the person who was killed innocent. George Floyd was guilty. The choices he made brought the police to him. The guy who was driving with the phony registration and the warrant, guilty. The fact he was driving that car under those circumstances brought the police. The police were called to the situation where the girl was going to stab somebody. So her choices brought the police to her. The 13-year-old boy who was shot, there was neighborhood people, probably African Americans, who called the police and said, there's gunfire near our house. We don't want our children shot accidentally through a window. If gangbangers are out there shooting, you need to stop them. So the police shows up. In all of those cases, no one was innocent. No one was just, I was just walking home. Now, for all of you people who are listening, who say, well, that Marcus guy must hate black people. He must be a racist. He must be this and that. Number one, your opinion doesn't matter to me because you're a moron. But number two, let me give you an incident where I do think race had something to do with it. And I do think the verdict was wrong. And that's the case of Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin was coming home from a store, cutting through, I guess, a predominantly white neighborhood. And George, whatever his name is, skips my mind right now, who a wannabe cop, decides I'm going to follow him because I have always wanted to be a cop, and I'm neighborhood watch. Trayvon Martin sees a car following him. He don't know why a car's following him. If I was Trayvon Martin, I'd be a little jumpy too. He calls his girlfriend and says, there's a car following me. I don't know what this is. Maybe I'm going to be mugged. Then this moron, when confronted, because Trayvon Martin says, look, I'm going to go over and see what the guy wants. I probably would too. And says, hey, you've been following me. Why? And this guy gets out of his car. Now, this is where the problem occurs. George Martin, I think his name was, or something. He never had to get out of the car. All he had to do was say, I'm neighborhood watch, and I was just wondering what you're doing in this neighborhood because I'm familiar with people and you ain't one of them. And then Trayvon Martin probably would have said, well, F you, I'm just cutting through here to come home, and you can go F yourself, and there's no situation. When that guy gets out of the car, he escalates the situation. When that guy gets out of the car, he's looking for a confrontation with Trayvon Martin. And that is not his job, if he even has one. His job is to de-escalate the situation. His job is to say, oh, you thought I was following you because I'm going to jump you or something. No. Sorry if I gave you that impression. I just noticed you're a strange guy in here, and my job is to patrol the neighborhood and make sure there's no burglaries and anything, and I was just wondering, you know, I didn't know. That's what he's supposed to do. So for that guy to get off, that was a travesty of justice. He's guilty. He's guilty. Because when he got out of the car, he invited that fight. He invited that confrontation, and that's not what you do. So in that case, I'm 100% on Trayvon Martin's family side. 100%. But not these cases, folks. George Floyd was not intentionally murdered. Derek Chauvin was not intentionally committing a felony when George Floyd died. Therefore, second-degree murder is not an appropriate charge. In my opinion, if there's any justice in this world, this verdict will be tossed or appealed, and that second-degree murder charge will be thrown out. And when it is, I'm sure there'll be rioting in the streets and people saying, see, you're not fair to the black man. That's not true. He was overcharged, and the jury obviously overcharged him and didn't really understand the ramifications of what needs to be proven before second-degree murder can be charged. Simple as that. As far as the woman who shot the guy who was resisting arrest instead of tasing him, I think the video speaks for itself. She's a moron. It was an accident. It resulted in his death. That's probably involuntary manslaughter if they want to press it. Probably involuntary manslaughter. Should she get 4 straight years? No, of course not. But she should get something. Because you don't just shoot somebody and say, oh, well, accident, my bad, and go home. I mean, you have to atone for it. So, yeah, you're going to have to, you'll get something. She'll get something. The cop who shot the 13-year-old boy, sorry, no charges. The kid did have a gun. And he wouldn't drop it. And then they lied to him and said he never had a gun. Well, very clearly the video shows he does. And minutes ago, he was firing it. No charges. The cop who shot the 16-year-old girl, Bryant, no charges. As a matter of fact, he's a hero. Because he saved an African-American life. Because that girl was 2 seconds away from being shanked by a much larger girl, it looked like. And that was not going to bode well for her. She'd probably bled out before the ambulance got there. What do you want the cop to do? Wait for the first stab? oh, she really did stab her. Okay, shoot her. And then they both die? Is that what you want? This is why I'm saying people are ghoulishly looking for anything. Oh, good. Oh, great. Another white officer shot a black person. Oh, that black person was trying to rape an old lady? Ah, that's inconvenient. But so what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It was still excessive force. That's what you're doing. You're trying to look for anything you can. Rather than to say, no, no, let's just make sure that what we're saying is legit. Now, if some civil rights leader, if some black civil rights leader wants to come out and say, look, in the case of the Bryant girl, that's justified. Sorry, she was trying to kill another girl. Then fine. But they're not saying that. They can't wait for the next one. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Mob rules is going to rule because you sent a message to the mob. And that message you sent was, if you threaten to burn, if you threaten to loot, if you threaten to run through the streets and commit violent acts, we will bow to your will. This is a very dangerous precedent that you set. And don't you think that they don't know it? So now this is the way we're going to rule, huh? Let the mob decide. We're going back to Salem 1692. Burn the witch. Burn the witch. That's what we're going. That's it. That's what we're going to. Is there any evidence she's a witch? No, but the whole crowd saying she is. Okay, burn her. That's what you want, folks. That's what you're going to get. Mob rules, and it's not going to be pretty.
I'm gonna do all this.